morning and please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church this beautiful summer morning. My name is Brian Johnson. I'm one of the elders here. I'll be happy to assist you with anything you need today. If you're visiting the church, please sign the guest book out in the front and join us for coffee and tea downstairs after the service. Most of the announcements we need to pay attention to are in your bulletin today. However, I do need to mention that we are still looking for volunteers for the Vacation Bible School in August. If anyone would like to volunteer, we really would appreciate it. We thank all those who would have already volunteered. And please don't make me get Ronaldo to come after you. That's all for me. Let's see if Reverend McCann has any announcements for today.
I just wanted to point out that I'll be around this week, but next week, starting Sunday, I'll be away, not on vacation, but on study leave. It's a minor point I want to make, but it's a working week, so I'll be actually working on the plans for the fall, and believe it or not, Christmas. So, yeah, I know, I've got to try to get ahead of the curve here a little bit, so that's what I'll be doing that week. And Reverend Mo Anderson will be here next Sunday, so we always have a good time when she's here, or you report back to me that you've had a good time when she's here, and she always does something rather new and creative, and that's fun to be and a wonderful experience for us in worship. So let's take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship, and we'll get ready to start. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as it says in Psalm 119. And as we light the Christ candle this morning, we're reminded that Christ is truly the light of the world, and Christ is, in fact, that light. He came to give us light so that we might, in turn, give light to others. This light is the free gift of God for all creation.
Our responsive call to worship is in your bulletin. Let us read responsibly. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Our opening hymn this morning is number 807.
Please be seated. You know, the Bible is shot through with stories of people who are just like us. Men and women who grieved, men and women who questioned, siblings who didn't get along, parents who chose favorites. God's word of grace is meant for people just like us and illustrated in the lives of the people contained in the Bible. There's no need for pretense in this place. We are here to come before God as we are, and God will accept us just as we are. Let us bow our heads now in prayer with our prayers of adoration, confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Author of life, living word, holy breath, we've kind of stumbled through the week in some ways. We've metaphorically so groped our way back into this place here again on Sunday morning. We ask, Lord, as we've heard already hinted at from Psalm 119, that you can illumine or be that light, illumine the steps before us and write your word on our hearts. For we carry the name of Jesus in our lives, in everything we do and everything we say, and we really want to walk in the light of his love. You are a patient and a persistent God, and Lord, we've come polished and presentable here on a Sunday morning. We're all wearing our Sunday comfortable clothes, and we've come to this comfortable room as if we kind of know what to expect, as if this were a safe and very predictable place. And in some ways it is. We look at our order of service, we kind of know what's coming up, and we've been here from Sunday to Sunday enough that we kind of can say, yeah, we know what to expect. And we could just sort of sit back in that predictability, Lord, and observe, not really engage, not be in the moment. So, Lord, we ask that you forget and forgive our tepid expectations that we can have. In the mystery of your love, Lord, overshadow us. Plant the seeds of your gospel in each of our hearts, Lord, until we bloom and spill with your passion to serve in a world that is truly hurting and wasting away. Help us, Lord, to truly be in this moment, right now, in your presence, asking, Lord, that the things that we have not done or done this week that have caused us to stumble away from your path, that if, in a way, Lord, the best way to put it might be that it's caused us to act differently than we say. We say we love you. We say we believe in you. But there have been moments this past week, Lord, when we haven't acted accordingly. And it's that we're praying for forgiveness. And we know we can ask for this forgiveness because Jesus offers this and his grace freely. We thank you, Lord. And now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Romans tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and the Spirit of God dwells in each and every one of us here this morning. If you hear nothing else today, hear these words. There is no condemnation. In the name of Christ, we are all forgiven. Amen. Now, a few years ago, a very lovely, quiet-spoken gentleman arrived at our church one Sunday morning, and he lived fairly close to the church, and he started coming to worship here on a regular basis, Mr. William Burke. And William, you're here somewhere today, are you? Where are you? There you are. Good to see you this morning. William worshiped with us for a few years and became a regular part of our family, and still is a regular part of our family in that sense, here at Burlington East. A little bit of background about William for all of you who may not know him so well. William was born and raised in Hamilton, and he and his wife Kathleen raised four children there and later years moved here to Burlington. Kathleen passed away in January of 2015 after suffering several strokes. William started attending here quite regularly in 2013, where he enjoyed the fellowship and kindness of our family here. He found great comfort in our congregation as he grieved the loss of Kathleen. William's almost 90 now, apparently. Good for you. Over the last year or so, William's health has taken a bit of a turn, and he and his family decided that he would need to move to a facility that could accommodate his health concerns. He moved to LaSalle Place, where we've had a number of people from our congregation living out on Plains Road West. But because of the distance it is from here and his health, William hasn't been able to come out on a regular Sunday, but he does come when he can, and he's here this morning, and we're glad that he could make it. And he still considers Burlington East to be a part of his family, and so do we. It's a way to show his appreciation to us and a way to thank God for the blessings he's received here. William's given us this lovely Bible stand. I'll turn it around the right way here for you. And it stands up like this. And William's given it to us to use here at the church. He's asked as well that we offer it in loving memory of his longtime companion, friend, and wife, Kathleen. So this morning I'll offer a word of thanks to William and his family for the donation of this stand. It's already been in my office and I've been using it quite regularly. And I want to offer a prayer of dedication for it, that God will bless its use here. Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 4, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. And this is a gift that we have, that we can read Scripture and actually put to use these words from Timothy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You've spoken your word, O God, through prophets and apostles and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you that William has offered the stand in memory of his wife, Kathleen, for the use here at Burlington East. From this place, Lord, from this very place, may your word be faithfully read and studied, both privately and, as we've heard in Timothy, publicly. Let all who read and hear your word given forth from this stand be renewed in faith and strengthened in service as Christ's bold disciples in the world. As we've read already in Psalm 119, it reminds us that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So be that light from this stand, Lord. Bless William and his family in this act of kindness and faith. And trusting in Jesus, we dedicate this Bible stand in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much, William. If you want to, I'll leave it up here so if you want to take a look at it later on, and I'll be in my office from there. We'll join now in our children's hymn this morning. Hymn number 699, and during the second verse, well, the children come forward for a time together. All the way my Savior leads me. Hi guys. Are you enjoying your summer so far? Yeah? Having fun? Did you go swimming or anything yet? Three times. Wow, good for you. I haven't been swimming at all this year. I have a little project I need some help with. I went out recently and I bought this. This is tomato seeds. And I want to plant them, but I need some advice. I know it's late. It's okay. But I need some help. I'm hoping you guys can help me. I've got three kinds of soil here, and I need to know which would be, in your opinion, probably be the best one to use. I'll put them down here. Hopefully we won't spill them. Okay. Let's see. In this container, what do we got? Looks like Yeah, wood chips, and there's some stones and stuff like that. Do you think that'd be good to plant seeds in? Really? I thought it'd actually be pretty good because the roots could get down pretty easy, and but it probably wouldn't work, eh? Okay. Well, this one here, what do you think of this one? I like this one. This is my, here, feel that, that's heavy. No, just pick the whole cup up. See, real heavy, eh? Boy, there's a lot of good dirt in there, I think, eh? Think that'd work? Why not? What's wrong with this? Lumps and
it stops
the roots from growing because it's full of sand and rocks and lumps and stuff. Yeah, you got a good point there. There's a rock right there. Okay, well, what about this one? That looks good. That looks like good dirt. Look at that. That's some good dirt there. So if I put my tomato seeds in there, you think they'll grow well? You know, Jesus told a story, and we're going to read about that later on today. And he said that this is kind of like us in a way. Sometimes we get the seeds of God's word planted in us that we can learn things. But sometimes we don't really pay attention and stuff just kind of withers away because it's not enough for it to hang on to and ends up kind of growing in this. We have to pay attention to what we're reading and what we learn in Sunday school. And you're going to Sunday school very soon and you're going to learn some things there. Good thing to know. This one here, yeah, lumpy and too heavy and rocks and stuff like that. Well, that's kind of like us too. And we think we know all the answers, and we, you know, we need to really learn, listen to our teachers and our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and me, because I'm the minister. This is the best soil, you're right. This has got, it's good fine, see, and there's all kinds of good nutrition stuff in there, and then when the seeds go in there, they'll grow really well because they can be fed well. But what do we need as well for the seeds to grow? Two other things. Wow, you're right on. Yes, absolutely. Water and sun. We need water and sun. That's right. Water is, you got to have it all the time, right? And if you don't have the sun, what will happen to the plants? If it's not in the sun.
Dry up.
Yeah, they kind of wilt and kind of fall over. So we need to be reaching for the sun, too. But the sun, in our case, is spelled differently. Okay? S-O-N.
The sun gives us vitamins.
The sun gives us vitamins. That's right, and helps us to grow well. So I'm gonna plant them in this because you guys advised me. I'll put them in here later, okay? And let's see if I can get the tomatoes growing. Do you think that'll work? Yeah.
It takes a year.
It doesn't take a year. A month. About a month. It'll take a month. Yeah, it'll start growing in about a month. I've started them late because normally you start them in the springtime, but I might have tomatoes by September. I'm hoping. Yeah? Let's say a little prayer together, and then you can head off to Sunday school. I'll put my soil back over here, because I'll spill it, I know. Can we just stand together and join our hands? Good. You can repeat after me, so can you, folks. Dear Jesus, help us to grow in the way that you want, with your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. And you head off to Sunday school and have a good lesson and get some good seeds growing in your life. And we'll join together, remain seated. We'll sing the third verse of our song, hymn this morning. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, let's just take a moment and invite God's Spirit to move on our hearts and minds. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord of life, and by the power of your Spirit, we ask that you'll come to us now and plow our hearts with your living word until we're broken and we become fertile with your love and bear fruit, as we've just been talking about with this, the seeds and soil. Open our minds and our hearts, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our responsive psalm found in the Psalters in your pews is from Psalm 119. We're reading from verse 105 to 112. And we are aware, because I know I've been saying this for a while now that Psalm 119 is the longest psalm and as well as the longest chapter, so to speak, in the Bible. It's in original Hebrew, every eight verses, every first word of the verse starts with the letter like A, B, C. So the first eight verses of Psalm 119 in Hebrew would all start with the letter A and work its way through there. So that if you do the math on that, that's one of the reasons this is so long. And each of those eight verses have a topic that they're dealing with as well. And it's called an acrostic poem, and it's one of several that are, about a dozen actually, that are found in Scripture. There's 176 verses divided into 22 stanzas, and we can get the general feel of that. God's name appears actually as Yahweh and Jehovah 24 times. A bit of trivia there for Psalm 119. But the point of what we're reading today is that God is directing us in our work and our way, and it's this lamp idea. God is lighting the path in front of us, and we need to be aware that God's light is there. We need to be looking all the time and let that light shine and show us the way we need to go. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 105.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. I hold my life in your hand continually, but I do not forget your law. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart.
Thank you, Brian. Our Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 to 13, and that's found on page 686 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bibles. The invitation that opens chapter 55 of Isaiah continues here in verse 10. So the first nine verses are an opening invitation. The first words of the chapter call the thirsty and the hungry to find water and food in abundant supply. And we're seeing a theme coming up here about watering and lots to do with agriculture and growth and that sort of thing. And Isaiah is talking quite a bit about that with snow and rain and sprouting forth seeds and bread and sowers and eaters. All these references are to the recycle of life and the renewal of life in God. Just as God's word goes out, it comes back with some return. Just as the seeds and the rain go out, they come back with some return. Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that it shall not be cut off. Romans 8, verses 1 to 11 is our New Testament reading today, page 157 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles, Romans 8, 1 to 11. We've been talking about Romans for the last couple of weeks, and Paul has concluded his poignant description of the human condition, as we talked about in Romans 7. Who will save us from our wretched captivity to the power of sin? Romans 8, 1 to 11 provides both a logical answer and a powerful witness to the life lived in freedom, a freedom that we cannot achieve, but that is given to us by the Spirit through Christ's saving work. And we'll be talking quite a bit about this and this morning's message. Romans 8, beginning at verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, but those who are in the flesh cannot, and those who are in the flesh, it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you. And our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We're continuing on through different readings. It's on page 13 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. We're reading two sections here, and I've already alluded to that with the children's story, talking about the sower and the soil and the different types of soil that the Jesus talks about. And we'll be talking about this a little bit in the message today too. Matthew 13, 1-9, and then we're going to jump down to 18-23. So it's Jesus telling this parable and then explaining the parable. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around Him that He got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And He told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Now down to verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what is sown on the path. As for what is sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of God. And we'll join now together in our next hymn, number 574, "With the Lord as My Guide." Please be seated. Why is it some people can just lose weight? Yeah, it's just that, you know, they just got to think about it and the pounds drop off, and others of us make the dial go around twice. I didn't realize that. You know, we carry a lot of weight around with us, spiritually speaking, as well. It's what I've been referring to as baggage when it comes to our understanding of our Christian life. And it's difficult, just as difficult as it can be for some people to lose physical pounds, it's difficult sometimes for people to lose spiritual pounds and remove the baggage. And I've been, in the last couple of weeks, talking about some of this baggage, referring to it as terms that we maybe don't understand. And what I mean by that is we have baggage around some of these words, words like sin, words like sanctification and justification. We can define those and we understand what those mean, but we always have a few extra pounds associated with them. And they can be referred to maybe in a negative sense as opposed to what God is trying to speak to us. So how can we shed these spiritual pounds? It's like losing physical pounds. Is it just simply willpower or a lack of it that causes failure? Are people convinced that if they, many people rather, are convinced that if they only had enough willpower, they could achieve anything, even lose weight? Yet many others are defeated on a daily basis by what seems to be a lack of that same willpower, from everything from losing weight to giving up cigarettes to eating healthy to having a better lifestyle to have an improved prayer life, and I'm going to read the Bible more, but never quite do it. You know, Romans 7 and 8 talks about this problem pretty straightforwardly, about the conflict that goes on in our minds and our hearts and how to achieve some victory over that, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Romans 7 says, as we've been talking about, "For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do." And that sounds like a person who's struggling with a weight problem, doesn't it? Whether it's spiritual or physical, and particularly spiritual. Especially as maybe you're standing in front of the fridge when we go back to that physical and the door's open and you're contemplating your next snack. You know, what I want to do, I do not do, and what I hate, I do. And we grab another brownie or what it may be. Today, as we look at Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at God's answer to this lifelong spiritual dilemma of doing what I don't want to do, even though when I know what I should do and really want to do is. I'm talking like Paul when I put that sentence together. And it's much more to do with our life than the matter of giving things up that are bad for our health or even losing a few pounds. It has everything to do with our spiritual walk with God, both now and forever. Romans 8, 6, and 7 in particularly says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit." So here's the truth in those two verses. You're going to do one thing or the other. It's not a third choice anymore. It never was. You're going to set your mind on godly things, or you're going to set your mind on non-godly things, other things, things of the flesh, as Paul puts it. It's not as if you're going to do some of one, a little bit of the other. Every choice we make in life is going to be one of those two options. And that may sound obvious or maybe too simplistic in a way, but it's not that obvious and it's certainly not that simple in reality. And I want to look at that this morning. But before we do, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we've all come here this morning and brought along with us baggage. Now, some of that baggage might just be something as simple as, I was in a rush to get here today and I'm still kind of there. Something maybe happened at home that, you know, I'm preoccupied with. And something may be happening later on today and I'm still not here. Help us to be right here, right now, Lord. Help us to listen to your voice. Help us to listen to your Spirit and receive that food, that nourishment that we need to continue growing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I tried to allude to it, I guess, with the kids here a little bit too, that seeds, when they're growing, they have sort of one thing on their minds. If they want to put minds in there, I guess. They want to grow. That's what seeds want to do. You put a seed in the ground and you put water on it, it wants to grow. It's what it does. It's its natural kind of thing. They head for the sun, as one girl said to us. Our job, really, for us, our job is kind of the same, except the sun we're heading for is not spelled S-U-N, it's spelled S-O-N, and we want to be heading for the sun always. The point in Romans, and that we can take away here, is how to do that, and that's setting our minds. We need to actively set our minds on the things of God. And, you know, it's something, it's a conscious decision in the early stages of that. It's got nothing to do with willpower. It's got everything to do with being in the moment and focused. And when we're faced with the different things that we are faced with in our life and our day, what's God's choice here? And after you do something like that for a while, it becomes habit. Ron, you do karate. You take karate. And you're pretty proficient at it these days. Well, you got a black belt. That's pretty proficient. If someone were to come up to you, Ron, and sneak up behind you and push you, what would be your first reaction? You'd respond with your karate a little bit there if you got surprised. Just right. Yeah, because you've been training and it's become a habit. But it's something you had to work at and train yourself to respond that way. Renata, when you're playing the keyboard, you're not thinking about playing so much anymore because your hands kind of know what they're doing, don't they? After you've been training so hard, it's become a habit now. I mean, you're in the moment listening and reading the music, but you're not trying to figure out where your fingers have to go anymore because they kind of know. Yeah, they do. When I play guitar, it's like that for me too. The things that we work on for our habits, after a while, the muscle memory's there because you've set your mind on that enough. It's become an automatic process to some degree. So when I think of a D chord on the guitar, I don't see that symbol D. I can see what my hand feels like. And that's a weird thing. Musicians would understand what that means, I guess. We all have things that we do that we set our minds on a regular basis. We respond automatically because we've spent our lives training ourselves to respond a certain way. In the beginning, setting your mind is simply saying, I'm going to stop for a moment and make a choice here. And it doesn't mean physically stopping. Wait, everybody, I can't wait, I just got to think. It means just pausing for that moment, to be in the moment and choose carefully what you're going to set your mind on. See, we like to think, like the seeds in that parable, that everything we do is because of our environment, especially in our modern sort of culture that we live in today. Oh, he's like that because he grew up in bad soil. She's like that because she grew up in rocky soil. Well, that guy's like that because he grew up in the right soil. It has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with the soil they happen to be in. And that's a right principle of some degree. But we aren't seeds. We're human beings created in God's image. And we have choice in everything that we have in front of us. God has given us that gift. But we can only do this with help from Christ in our life. The Holy Spirit in our lives helps us to succeed in living God's way. On our own, as Paul tells us through Romans 7 and 8, we're going to stumble and fail. And that's really what the parable Jesus is talking about. Jesus isn't talking about the good soil. He's talking about, when he explains that parable, he's talking about decisions people make. They hear the word, and they don't really pay attention to it. So it falls away. They hear the word, but they don't nourish it enough, and it dries up and dies. They hear the word, and they set their minds on God's ways, and it grows and multiplies 100-fold, 60-fold. We're called to set our minds, and that's moment by moment, day by day, actively choosing what God wants instead of what we want. Flesh versus spirit, as Paul puts it. It's not simply willpower that makes us better in our journey with God. It's through God's grace, active in our lives, that makes all the difference. And Jesus says this at the end of the first part of that parable, when he just tells the parable. Anyone with ears, let them listen, let them hear. You know, on television on Saturday Night Live years ago, Hans and Franz were characters that were a recurring sketch called Pumping Up with Hans and Franz. It was Saturday Night Live, as I said, and Hans and Franz were played by Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon. And in the sketch, they play a pair of muscle-bound Austrian jocks who kind of mimicked Arnold Schwarzenegger. They had fake padding for their muscle, padding for their fake muscles, rather, and wore these sweatsuits and weight belts, and they talked with their German accents or Austrian accents. In the background were pictures of Arnold. And they would say together, "We're going to pump you up." Because Arnold used to say that when he was trying to be inspirational. But what their big phrase was, "Hear me now, listen to me later." And then they would give some silly advice about weightlifting or something. It's that phrase, "Hear me now, listen to me later," that I think of when Jesus is telling this particular parable. And he says, "For those who have ears to hear, let them hear." Mechanically, we hear the words of God's promise and God's grace in Matthew and in Romans, particularly today. But we need to listen so we can understand what they've said. Hear me now, listen to me later. Jesus says, though, again in verse 9, "Let anyone with ears listen." You know, the disciples, Jesus didn't explain his parables very often, but he does in this one, because the disciples, which we didn't read, the disciples come to him in verse 10 and they say, "Why do you speak to the people in parables? Because they're just not getting it. We have the advantage now that, you know, we've read these explanations, we've heard sermons galore over the decades of people expounding on the parables of Jesus." When they were there in that moment, "Why are you talking about dirt and seeds? I don't get this. Like, what's this all about? Not making any sense to us. Why are you talking in these riddles?" And in this particular case, Jesus takes the time to explain it. He's trying to teach them to be in the moment. He's trying to teach them to set their minds. Stop just listening to the surface stuff. Look for God's response and answer in this. They were hearing, but they weren't really listening. And they clearly didn't want to wait to figure it out, because they bugged him to say, "You know, tell us some more." So, when we're setting our minds, when we're walking with God, when we're in this conflict between flesh and spirit, is it simply willpower that gets those pounds off, spiritually speaking? Is it mere determination on my part that gets me right with God? Of course it isn't. It's not my will or lack of it. It's Christ in me, as Romans reminds us. "But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you." What we have to do to set that off and get that going is to set your mind. We need to set your mind. For it is Christ in all of us that makes the difference. You think we've got that? Hear me now, listen to me later. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you can help us to, in every moment that we're facing today, the moments that are going to come right after church today, the moments that are going to come in this afternoon, we can pause. Spiritually speaking, just pause for a moment and set our minds looking for what you want us to do and how you want us to respond. Lord, as we do this more often, it'll become almost a habit. It'll become part of who we are. And it's the power of your Spirit working in our lives that will make that happen. And we'll continue to be walking in your way, always looking for that opportunity. Where's God here? Where's God here? How can I respond better? In a godly fashion. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that empowers us and guides us in this way. And Lord, we offer all of this prayer and this time together up in Jesus' mighty name, knowing that we have victory because of his death and resurrection. Amen. And now bring our gifts, because the tendrils of God's love have worked their ways into that soil of our hearts. Sisters and brothers, let us yield our lives to God's abundant harvest and present our offerings. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you provide in our lives. Lord, just as that sower cast seeds in that parable out on the good soil and it came back a hundredfold, we pray, Lord, that this offering can be used to your glory and to the building of your kingdom a hundredfold. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This is the time when we come together in, as I've worded it many times, a great responsibility and a great privilege that we have to be praying for others in our lives and in our community. And as we've been doing over the last couple of months, we'll have an opportunity for you to speak aloud a name of someone in your life who is in the need of prayer, in the need of healing, in the need of God's hand in their life. And as I said, this is a wonderful time for us to come before God and talk to God quietly, but corporately. We're here as God's people. We're uniting our hearts in Christ, and here is where Christ will dwell. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, we were yours before we even drew a breath, and we're still yours when the pulse of life ceases for us. Every fragile and reckless moment, we belong to you. So Lord, we thank you for the desires in our life that have given us life. We thank you that your love is spilling forth into our lives all the time. Lord, we come before you in this moment to be praying for those in need, people who we've read about, people that we know, someone that's come to us with a need. So Lord, we do think in particular this morning of the people in British Columbia, many, many people, Lord, who are suffering because of the great fires that are taking place and people are losing their homes and being displaced. Pray, Lord, that you can bring them the relief they need and bring the people into their lives that can help them to rebuild from this devastating fire that's taking place out there. And Lord, I pray for people in our congregation this morning who are suffering with different illnesses, cancers, and different physical ailments that are taking place, maybe brand new news, maybe news that we've had for some time. Lord, I pray that you will be with the doctors and the nurses and the workers that are helping these folks do their job. Bring that healing that they need through the medications that they're getting, but also to have comfort emotionally and spiritually that is sometimes very, very, well, it is not sometimes, it's always very scary, Lord, when we hear that word, that cancer is in our life. And we all know someone, Lord. All of us have someone in our life, family member, a friend, a coworker, who's been struck by this disease. Give them the comfort they need, Lord. So, Lord, now we also take a moment, as we've been doing, to offer names to you, names of people who are on our hearts and in our lives, and we say them out loud, Lord, so all of us can think about that name and offer it up to you in unison in that sense, and quietly just present that to you for your intervention. Lord, we take that time now to offer these names to you. Thank you for when your people respond. Thank you for the love that they're expressing, the concern that's being expressed in each of these names, the families and individuals that have been offered. We don't know what's going on in their lives, but the person who offered that name up certainly does. And so, Lord, we're asking for your hand to work in the lives of these folks. More names were said silently. And you hear those too, Lord. And we trust that you are going to work. Lord, continue to teach us to act and tend the world that you love, to sow more than we reap, to heal more than we wound, to make room for others as you've made room for us. Lord, stake your claim upon us now until we hear your gospel echo in each stranger's story and see your image reflected on every wounded face. We're trusting you, Lord, because you give us that confidence. We can see as we look back all the different times you've intervened and enacted in people's lives. We're trusting you're going to do more of that. And we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Join together now in our final hymn, number 258, Thine Be the Glory, 258. Therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You are of the Spirit, since God, the Spirit of God, dwells in you. Go this week, be in the moment, make those decisions, those choices for God and not the flesh. Now may God, whose forgiveness is boundless, the Christ whose charge is freedom, the Spirit which grants us life and peace, keep your minds and hearts in grateful communion as we seek to serve and follow our Lord, now and forever. Amen.